Hello, welcome to another episode of Unpacking Neuroqueerness. Today I have another guest on the podcast, my friend Andrew Forster. Andrew and I met at an autistic meetup, a Square Pegs autistic meetup up in Seattle a couple weeks ago. Welcome, Andrew.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for coming on. So I'm going to ask Andrew today a few different questions, special interests, and then we're going to talk about like a little bit about a few other things as well and just go from there. Anyways, my first question for you today, Andrew, is what is, I like to ask this because it's, weather is one of my special interests. So what is your favorite kind of weather?
That is a very good question, and depending on the season and time of year, I prefer dry weather, less on the humidity side because I'm still not used to it, even though where I'm originally from, it's been kind of part of the ways of surviving in a way, how to describe it, but it's been, living with humidity has been very uncomfortable for me.
Yeah, so that's definitely a good thing about living in Seattle, because you don't get, I mean, I guess humidity, do you mean like the heat and humidity, or just humidity in general?
Here in Seattle, where I'm currently living in, it's humidity in general, because the higher amounts only occur when the overall temperature is low, when it's in the 40s, 50s, 60s, I have a rough time being out there trying to enjoy the nice weather because I feel drained within the first 5-10 minutes at most.
Yeah.
And another thing I don't like about it, when it's that humid out there around the temperature level, it makes it difficult to stay awake the rest of the day to get myself motivated to do other things.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
But when it comes to drier weather or drier heat, when it's in the upper 70s or somewhere in the 80s to a certain level, that I can handle fine, almost at Arizona level heat.
Yeah, so like, higher temperatures and lower humidity.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. I can relate to that also. I generally tend to prefer cooler weather, but if it is warmer, I like it dry. If it's too humid, then it gets so uncomfortable and sticky, and I'm sure you've, being from Chicago, you've experienced very hot and humid.
Many times during the summer, and it's really not worth it.
Yeah.
I mean, if it was drier during the summer there, which it hardly ever is, then I would enjoy it better. But since it hasn't been when I was there,
worth it. What's your favorite season? What would you say is your favorite season in Chicago and your favorite season in Seattle?
My favorite season in my hometown, Chicago, is actually a tiebreaker. It's between the end of winter, start of spring, and midpoint of fall to the start of winter.
Cool. So that's like when it's starting to snow.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I've survived so many blizzards.
Yeah. Do you think, which one do you think is worse, the winters or the summers in Chicago?
Both.
Both, yeah. Equally bad.
Equally, it's just, like I said, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
But the difference on my favorite weather spots or favorite seasons here in Seattle are actually any season. Because it be, to me, from my observations for 12 years living out here on my own, after observing every single season I've been through since I moved out here, it's been very evil, especially during the wintertime. Yeah. Even when it snows here, which hardly ever snows, it doesn't feel as chilly as how it would back in my hometown.
Yeah, definitely.
That's why I wanted a rare few of how many are out here that wear shorts all year round.
Yeah. That's for sure. I can see that, how it's a lot milder in the summer and like still comfortable but not oppressively hot, and mm-hmm. how it's milder in the winter too, where like you said, it gets,
yeah,
it can snow a little bit but not as much, and that it doesn't feel as chilly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
even from a few years back, we had a blizzard of sorts here during that one winter. It did close a lot of roads and a lot of businesses for that length of time, but on the actual temperature itself, it still wasn't, I didn't feel it that cold at all.
Yeah.
For me being hot-blooded inside, it's nothing.
Yeah. How cold, like, what's the coldest it'll usually get in Seattle in the winter?
If we have snow, it would probably be in the either teens, 20s, or low 30s. Definitely, yeah, below freezing.
I see. Mm-hmm. And Chicago can get
like, way colder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's negative.
That's when you get uncomfortable.
Negative 10 or 20. Or...
Yeah, sometimes it could be a little lower than that. Wow. Right on the location.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds intense.
Yeah, but people keep telling me that global warming is becoming a big factor to this. And maybe it is. Maybe it's not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But people keep telling me. Yeah. So.
Well, what I've observed is that I think there's more extremes now. There's like more extreme cold, and there's also more extreme heat. It seems like it's... like, at least in some places, it used to not fluctuate as much, and I feel like it's fluctuating a lot more now.
I haven't noticed it that much.
Yeah.
Or how it fluctuates, mm-hmm. up here. Maybe down in your area, but not up here.
Yeah. Yeah, I think down here it's been fluctuating more recently. What are... Okay, so my next question is, what is your favorite or most intense weather-related memory?
Surviving the largest thunder blizzard back in Chicago before I moved out here in 2011. That was the most strongest kind of weather system I can recall in my entire lifetime. Everything was shut down, including Lakeshore Drive. Even that made the news completely. Yeah. I had to miss at least 2 weeks of college, you know, because I couldn't get done there by car, by other means of transportation. Couldn't do nothing. Couldn't even get to work on time either. Wow. So,
yeah,
that was the worst one I can recall.
How long was everything closed? Like, how long? Were there, like, power outages, too?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There were some power outages here and there. It didn't affect the house where I was living at, though, but surrounding other blocks did get affected by it, because a lot of the power lines were so frozen, some of them broke to a point, but there was so much feet of snow out there. It was about as bad as I think the storm in 67 or 79, from what Mom and Pop can tell me.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was that intense, but yeah, that went on for weeks.
Were you in Chicago for the do you remember anything about the heat wave of 1995?
Yes, I was there. I was graduating from elementary school and starting up high school that year. And that summer was, jeez. We made a lot of record highs during that summer.
Yeah. I
I
remember
think
watching. Yeah. Go ahead.
we went to Great America, and that was a bad time to go. We got totally sunburned.
Well, yeah. It was, I remember watching like a documentary on the Weather Channel a long time ago about the 1995 heat wave in Chicago and how it was like the heat index was almost like 120 degrees or something.
That was out in the suburbs
Yeah.
for that index level, because I was born in the outskirts of the city in the northwest side. In that area, it barely made the index of 100
I
during
see.
that heat wave, from what
I
I can
see.
recall.
Yeah.
But it did last for almost the entire summer.
Yeah, well, yeah. My next question for you, more about your special interests. What are your favorite special interests, and when did you get into how and when did you get into them?
Well, first off, for me being on the spectrum, video games. That's been my entire life long thing involving technology since I was a little kid. Jeez, from my very first computer system from way back when to first Atari, first Nintendo systems.
Yeah.
Pretty much a little bit of everything.
Cool. What are some of your favorite video games that you've had?
Well, since I've been a fan of the retro ones, let's see, Mario Kart, start off. What else? The Cruisin' series. From Cruising USA to the most recent one. Let's see what else. Extreme G collection. Yeah, that was a good racing collection. And then there are a couple of retro shooters I like. The Doom collection, Serious Sam. Little bit of Halo along with it. Duke Nukem. Actually, that ties along with the Doom guy right there. And there are a couple of puzzle games I like too. The original Tetris, Dr. Mario, 2048, Sudoku. I have mixed feelings for that one from time to time, but it's up there. Just recently, I started to get into RPGs and JRPGs, but that list is so long. But other than that, certain genres have really caught my eye, to be more precise on that.
Cool.
And every so often, as I've gotten older, I've been kind of changing it to a different genre and so on and so forth.
Cool.
But currently, right now, I've been going back to retro stuff because it's making a huge comeback.
Yeah. Nice. What would you say is your favorite, if you have any, like what is your favorite and least favorite autism TV representation?
What do you mean?
Show, like if you've seen any shows with autistic characters and what you don't like about those shows and what you like about them.
A good example of what I like is being Big Bang Theory. Yeah, it has some interesting characters in there, especially one that he does try to portray someone who's on the spectrum, and I do learn from him on how he performs that character. But then there are times he kind of goes a little too far on overacting it
Yeah, I
in
agree.
the later episodes.
I really I did watch The Big Bang Theory a lot when I was younger because I did also relate to Sheldon, the main character.
Yes, him, yeah.
Because there are just a lot of things that stood out. Like, he also had a hard time like understanding like these social
Yes.
codes and stuff. And
Same thing.
yeah, and it like things that, yeah, it's just a lot about him, like sensory stuff and like being like having special interests and being really focused on his work and like yeah. And I also have this similar feelings. Like, I think a lot of it felt pretty accurate, like in terms of at least my experience and things that I could identify with. And there were also some parts where it felt like they were stretching it a little bit, where I feel like for me, and I've heard this from like a few other people too, is that he would say something out loud about like a certain situation that I necessarily, it's like I'm thinking that in my head, but I don't usually say it. And I think that's somewhere that was that they missed, like Sheldon would always say it, and so I felt like that was, like you said, a little bit overacted or overplayed.
Overacted, yeah.
Yeah, and gosh, I had another thought that escaped my head, but do you any other like shows with autistic characters that you related to?
Monk.
Monk. Cool. I don't think I've heard of Monk. I haven't seen it. But what was your
The character himself, on how he able to solve each mystery by using a lot of his phobias and to help him think and figuring out how the clues add up and who was the actual suspect of each one, that kind of thing,
I
while he
see.
was trying to
Yeah.
solve the ongoing murder of his wife.
I see. Yeah, that I can relate to, like wanting to solve and like investigate and having a very curious mind. What are some ways that you feel misunderstood and you wish that, like, what are some of the things that you struggle with the most? With communicating with neurotypicals and that you wish that they did a better job of understanding.
I've always been misunderstood by a lot of neurotypicals. I've been trying to get to know them better and hanging out with them and whatnot, but it's just still very difficult to this day. You can't be on the same page with them for whatever they're talking about. And I try my best to get to that same level, but no, it turns out they keep telling me I'm more smarter than they are, so I try to dumb myself down, and that didn't help. So, what else do you expect me to
Yeah, I feel like
do?
it's really complicated because.
Here's the same. Same thing with my family here. Trying to be on the same page with them, and me being the eldest son who's on the spectrum, whatever they try to bring up, it's not being on the same page what I'm trying to do, but it's talking about the same topic. And whenever I'm not on the same page with them, they get upset with me.
Yeah, no, I relate a lot to like being told that I'm doing, like I'm overthinking something or I'm getting, like I'm doing too much of something or I'm not doing enough of something. Like
That's exactly what I'm going through.
it's really frustrating because it's,
It hurts.
yeah, it does. Yeah, because it's like you can't. 'Cause like we're trying so hard to find that balance, and it's really hard 'cause it's just like I can't seem to get it right either.
That's how I feel every time, every single day. Even the most simplest things has become complicated.
It has a lot. Do you also struggle with being told that you're that like people thinking that you're lying because you're
all the time.
Because they think that because we communicate so directly and they're constantly like looking for subtext, they think that we're like saying, they're like looking for things that we're not saying, and they think that we're hiding something, but we're just precisely being,
they're accusing us for us being the exaggerators, even though we're trying to be truthful and honest about whatever it is the argument's about. But they're not believing it. They assume we're the exaggerators.
I experienced that too, where like I'm exaggerating, or I'm overthinking, or I'm projecting, but I'm just like thinking of, I'm just seeing the reality. I'm just like trying to say, like this is what we need to do because this is what's happening.
This is the situation. Whenever the topic is that turns out to be an argument, and whenever I try to bring my side of whatever it is to get on the same page there, they automatically stop me right there and assume you're exaggerating and we don't believe a word of what you say. That's when I get super defensive and overreact and overthink or whatever. And it drains energy out of me to get their attention that I'm not doing that. I'm being honest and truthful to be on the same level as you guys. But they don't believe. And what's the point?
It's really frustrating. It is, like, I've had a lot of people that I just kind of gave up on having any kind of relationship with, or because they don't. Same. Have there been any, have you come across any people that like made some effort to understand you, and like they've, and what are, like, has that happened with any people?
My autistic friends do get along well with me. We get on the same level and page all the time. And that seems to be the only group I'm familiar with now.
I also find that most of the people, like, I'm lucky that, like, there's some neurotypical people that I know that I feel like they make a little effort to understand me, and I think they're getting a little better, but it's hard. Like, I feel like the people that I feel that I can relate to the most are autistic people, because we're just thinking, like, we're on the same frequency, we're thinking on the same level. Even people with ADHD that aren't autistic, I feel a little more understood than I do with neurotypicals. But I think with autistic people is where I feel the most comfortable. Like, I just feel like we're on the same level, and we get it. Like, we, like, even though we all have different experiences with our lives, it's it's sort of like we speak the same language.
In a way, I did learn something, though, throughout my lifetime when it comes to at least trying my best to be on the same level with anyone. Anyone who's on the spectrum, I know, who is not. Theater. Comedy theater. That improved myself. Outside of that, to be more myself, and to make them understand you more. But even though it's more entertaining in a way from their point of view, but I'm trying to get the same meaning, same seriousness as they are when on the art.
Yeah. So you feel like when you're doing comedy and comedy theater, they're more, it's easier.
Anything, right? Let me put it this way. Anything involving a big laugh. Mm-hmm. While trying to be serious. It does make it entertaining and all, but I'm still trying my best to get the point out there.
Yeah.
Even with some kind of facial reaction, you know, comedically reaction kind of thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. That's another really tricky part, is the facial reactions, going back to like how neurotypicals can misunderstand us a lot, is I feel like they think that, like, they have this idea that certain faces will always correspond to certain feelings, and like sometimes, like what happens to me is that sometimes I'll be actually like excited or happy about something, and I'm just not showing it, like my face isn't as excited, doesn't maybe look as excited as I am, and then they interpret that, they think that I'm not excited, or they think that I'm lying if I tell them that I am excited. And so I don't know, like it, that's something that's happened with me before. But it depends, like sometimes it's also something that I've been able to kind of like over time figure out, like these different expressions and like how they use them, and then kind of apply that also, and then some days I actually have more success with that. But it just makes me think a lot about how, like, we're usually the ones that have to do all that work with, like, trying to understand them and trying to adapt.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I had another thought. It just came briefly in my head, but then, yeah.
Well, I've learned recently to rely less on thinking, because, like you mentioned at the beginning, that we overthink too often. So what I've learned philosophically is to rely less on that and just observe through your eyes.
Yeah.
If you find anything that catches your attention through your eyes only, then there'll be something to talk about. It may be ongoing, maybe a short one, who knows, but if you do it that way, and you have the right amount of detail, you know, what you're observing, relying less on thinking about it, I mean, still think about it, but not think about it too much, then maybe the neurotypicals might be able to understand whatever the heck it is you're talking about.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Yeah, because I feel like a lot of it is, like, when I go to talk to someone that's neurotypical, I feel like I kind of tense up and I, like, start thinking a lot about trying to script what I'm going to say and how it's going to go. But it's, if I just go more naturally from, like, what I'm feeling and not thinking too much, it does make it easier. Yeah,
because I've also learned when you overthink, it does make your head hurt.
Oh my gosh. Definitely. I've experienced that. I did remember what I wanted to ask.
Oh, good.
Gifting, because that's okay. I was wondering if you struggle with receiving gifts as well, because, like, what happens with me is they want me to open the gift in front of me, and I get really worried about how they're gonna interpret my reaction. I was wondering if you've experienced that too, if you feel shy when opening gifts in front of people.
When it comes to opening gifts, I don't mind doing it any time because I receive them quite often. Mm-hmm. I'm always happy for it.
Yeah, no, I think it's like the receiving the gift itself, I like. It's just sometimes like opening it in front of people makes me nervous because I worry that they're gonna...
I never had that problem.
Okay, no. Yeah.
No, I've always been a very sociable type of individual, mm-hmm, for being on the spectrum. It's just, even though that's the total opposite, but it's just one of the things that I seem to overcome throughout my life.
Yeah.
And it still is. So
I see. Well, that's good. Yeah.
One of the pipes about that is once you get to meet and greet other people, no matter where you live in it, especially here, mm-hmm, eventually they help you out in return.
Yeah.
In unexpected moments. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the pipes of surviving on your own, living independently.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of free stuff.
Yeah.
And it's very useful, too.
Mm-hmm.
You do not, here's the thing, here's what I do not to suggest to look at. Do not take advantage of it. Do not think of it as taking advantage of anyone that you're trying to get to know. Never look at it like that.
Yeah.
Just look at them as neighbors, friends, just regular people, always looking out for you, and vice versa. And that's what I've been doing, living on my own for 12 years. And every so often, they help me out with whatever I'm going through.
Yeah. Well, that's...
It's just like they're treating me as family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a family guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's always nice when you're able to develop a connection, enough of a connection with someone, and then, like, helping them out with certain things that it ends up they're more inclined to help you out when
that moment is there. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense. Gosh, I'm still trying. I have a few more questions planned too, but I still uh-huh, keep trying to remember what I wanted to ask you about the Big Bang Theory.
Why?
I hope it comes back to me at some point.
It will. Yeah. It will eventually. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you also more about, like, just in general, because I know we talked, like, weather-related things in between Chicago and Seattle or the West Coast, but...
Why?
What do you, like, if we think of it more just, like, in general... What are some of the things in general you like better about Chicago and that you like better about Seattle?
What I liked about Chicago, being born and raised from, is the people, certain types of people, mm-hmm, that I've met over the years while being born and raised. I'm who to hang out with, who to trust, that kind of thing. That was one of the things I enjoyed. Another thing to tie along with that is a lot of good eateries when they were around when I was a child to a teenager. But as I got older to young adulthood, after I turned 21, things just kind of phased out in a way to the point that it was going to be my time to start moving out and living on my own and trying something different, and that's what I've been doing ever since to where I'm at now. But in relation to that, I've actually been familiar with the Seattle area since our first family trip back in '88.
Oh.
So technically, I know this area way back then.
I see. And yeah. What made you, what prompted, what did you really like about, Seattle that prompted you to decide to move there from Chicago?
Location, mm-hmm, air quality, people, a lot more work opportunities. Just felt like my second home.
Yeah, nice. And what would you say are like the main differences, like culturally, like with the people, like the main differences that you like better about Seattle people than Chicago people?
From my experiences with the Seattle people, we get along really great.
Yeah.
But with the people in Chicago, there are certain types we do get along great, but that percentage is very small.
I see.
Here, it's a lot more wide open.
Yeah.
They really look out for you. Especially in the area that I live on the east side of Lake Washington, they really look out for you. Possibly there are some I know on the other side of the lake in the downtown Seattle area or north of that, but where I'm currently living at right now, I fit in much better.
Nice. So
Because
you,
people here understand me, and
yeah.
I understand them.
So you feel a lot more understood in Seattle than Chicago. I see.
Yes, I fit in way better. Even though mom and pop still want me to move back home because they're old and retired and all that stuff, and me being the eldest son and all that jazz here, but I love them dearly, and I keep telling them I'm already rooted out here. My younger brother, who lives there right by you, he's already been rooted out there in the same time zone, so we ain't moving back anytime soon.
Gosh, now I'm so I think I'm like trying to remember that thing about the Big Bang Theory. Let's see. I think it was. I mean, this might be a different question, but maybe it will lead me to the original one. What was. How did you discover it? Like, when was the first time you saw the Big Bang Theory?
Probably when we still had cable TV. So that was, oh gosh. I think the first episode was aired in the mid 2000s or something.
2007, I think.
Yeah. So it was around the time when we were ending to have cable TV. And that's when I saw a couple of commercials about it. I didn't have a chance to actually see the episodes then until many years later.
Yeah, I think it was around that same time that I started watching it as well, or I would, it was also like I saw it on cable TV, like I would see a few episodes, and then I think I ended up watching them like later on. Yeah, I could relate. Sheldon, of course, was the main character that I related to. And then of course some of the other characters also, like you said, what were like some of your other favorite characters and why?
The other main protagonist, the one with the
Leonard.
glasses, Leonard, he was one of my other favorites. Every time when he would get an argument with Sheldon or with someone else, depending on using the terminology or just being himself, I can relate to his level.
Leonard. I liked Leonard too.
But for the other one, his name now.
Howard or Rajesh?
Howard. I could also relate to him during the first 2 seasons before he met his girlfriend, and we'd always have trouble finding that right one. So I can relate to that too. But with Leonard, when he got instantly connected with Polly, I think that's what her name is.
Penny.
Penny. Thank you. Yeah, when he got connected with her, It was like, I know how to do it now.
I remember Leonard and Penny, like, I remember he had a crush on her from like the very beginning, and then like she was dating a bunch of other guys, and then they ended up getting together. And then, and then eventually Sheldon ends up dating Amy. What did you think of Amy?
She's a definite match for him. In so many ways.
Yeah, I agree. I remember like watching their first date, and I was like, wow, yeah, this is like a basically a woman version of Sheldon. Gosh, there was what were some of your favorite parts of the show, and would you say in general? If you had any.
Each episode, by using the scientific terminology, and see if there was an exact meaning to each episode in relation to the title of it.
Yeah, I see. What was your, is there one in particular you remember?
There are a couple, but they were from the first and second season, because I'm in the third one right now. Few of them involving different techniques or different ways on how to keep a relationship stable or trying to say hi, that kind of thing.
What are some of your, back to like when you were talking about Chicago and like food and everything, what are some of your favorite foods?
Sushi.
Sushi. Yeah, I like sushi too.
No, that's my number one favorite.
What's your, what would you say is your number two?
Well, definitely on the healthy side, salad. Yeah. Or sometimes when I go to Subway, I get one of those there, or Jersey Mike's, or any kind of sub place that would have a good presentable sub for like a 6-inch foot long, whatever, but it would have the right balance of protein and salad material together.
Is there a difference from like Subway in Chicago to Seattle, or would you say it's pretty similar?
It's almost similar, but for trying it out here in Seattle, depending on which location you go to, they actually do it a little bit differently. And even the ingredients taste a little bit fresher here than they did when I was visiting back home
I
a while
see.
back.
I see. What are some other favorite like foods that you really liked in Chicago?
Hot dogs, Polish sausage, smoked sausage, sometimes brats, hamburgers, cheeseburgers, pizza, pasta,
Nice, yeah.
seafood. Especially what I've remembered being born and raised is going out, when it comes to seafood, we would always go to Red Lobster or a few crab places that were out in the suburbs every so often. I miss going to those, especially some of the good crab places like Bob Jim's Crab House. That was fun.
Any good seafood? I'm sure you've, have you found any good seafood places in Seattle too?
There are some around here that are about as good, and you do get it a bit fresher here because it's closer to the ocean, for one. But atmospherically, it doesn't feel the same. It's what I can remember from my experiences back in Chicago.
I see. Yeah. Any other cities that you've been to outside of Chicago and Seattle that you really liked?
San Francisco.
Cool. Yeah, San Francisco. Yeah.
Yeah, San Francisco, Richmond, Los Angeles, San Diego, Beverly Hills, Hollywood. So I can think of from my experiences in California. Let's see, in Arizona, there's Phoenix, Tucson, a few other small towns that I've been to once. That was a year ago. That was fun. Austin, Texas, once, many, many years back. Wisconsin, Lake Geneva, Williams Bay, Green Bay, Milwaukee, Madison a few times. Michigan, there's Detroit, and Lansing, and other small towns. I don't recall the names of. Indiana, there's Gary in Indianapolis. I've traveled to so many different states. The only ones I've never been to yet was Florida, both of the Carolina states, Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire.
Is there a favorite out of all of those that you've been to?
Well, if you want to go by favorites, in the East Coast, I've actually enjoyed Massachusetts, the Boston, Cambridge area.
What were your favorite things about Massachusetts?
Family. I got family over there, along the Cape. And
Nice.
even the area over there is good too, and they got really good seafood there.
Yeah, nice.
Especially genuine, authentic New England clam chowder. The white one, not the red one.
Yeah, the white one. I like the white one too. Yeah. I don't like the red one that much.
I've tried the red one a few times. It was a bit too salty for me.
It's just like for me, it was too soupy. Like, I remember it just because, like, I really like how the white one is, like, creamy, you know?
Supposed to be, yeah.
Yeah, so. Like, I remember ordering, it was actually one time that I ordered the chowder and I didn't know that it was the red one. I was like expecting the white one in my head.
Right.
So then it came and it was the red one and it was not bad, but it was definitely like an adjustment for me because I had been expecting something completely different.
That's another thing I should mention about being on the spectrum. How to accept change.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Yeah.
But it depends on the type of change that's going on.
What is the
So,
kind of, yeah.
the ones I'm still having trouble to this day is life changes.
Like with people or with jobs or like what?
All of the above, everything. There's certain things in actual life I still do not accept change. I just, even though I'm hearing a lot of good things about it and trying to accept it, no, can't. Will not accept.
Are there types of change that have been easier for you than others? And
Back
what?
then they were. The way before COVID they were, but now that COVID is here and gone, It's just
what were
that
some
made such
of
a big
the
impact.
yeah
It was just, I still don't accept it.
what were some of the toughest things about COVID, or like during the height of the pandemic that you
besides I'm unable to socialize with anyone, I didn't even find a stable job.
Yeah.
Had to rely on unemployment for that special moment there, which did help a lot, but the downside about it, we owed them so much money back in return the next year, which was kind of okay. Well, I mean, it sort of made sense, but it was just not a good time. And even nowadays, it would still come back to a point where I just still won't accept that change anymore. It's just, they already made a big impact, and people are still not going back to how things were, so because they chose to accept this new change, and that's how we feel more divided than being together.
Do you, on the topic of people, do you have you struggled with getting really attached to certain people and having a hard time like letting go of them if they like having a
yes.
system?
Quite frequent. Even though I don't show it. But it's coming from within.
Yeah, I feel that like really deep attachment, like inside. Also, I feel a deep attachment to somebody, and it's really hard when you know that they don't feel the same way about you. Like even not necessarily romantically, but even just like in friendships and stuff. Yeah, like I struggle a lot with that. And then also like perception, like being really sensitive to things, like if like with a friend or whatever, like if I text them something and I don't hear back from them, I'll start projecting like I think that they're upset at me, but sometimes they're just really busy and they just haven't responded, but I catch myself like getting really anxious. Yeah, that's one thing that's like, because you were, we were talking earlier also about change, and so I feel like another thing that was really hard for me, like one change that was hard was when I was, I did like an acting school for 2 years, and I had these people that I got close to, and we would like see each other every week or like twice a week, and then everyone kind of goes their own ways, and then like we don't, like some of them I don't really see or hear from anymore. And so I remember that was just kind of, it was weird for me, for it took a while for me to adjust to that. Like I, it felt really, and it's not even only about like my connections with people individually, but it's just like the feeling of, it was a structure. Like I had this structure that I knew that I was going to see them. It's also like I get really used to structures when I have like a program, a class or something, and it ends, because then it's like I end up like I have to restructure, like I just end up doing other things and moving on to other projects and such. But it, like that transition is tough for me. Yeah.
Yep. I can relate.
I feel like I don't know, like I There's another thing that I had thought of. It had escaped my head again.
That.
Did you have any other? I wanted to open it up to you a little bit if you had any other topics you wanted to talk about.
Well, going back to video games, I've been one of the unique individuals on the spectrum actually work in the industry for almost a decade.
Yeah, how's that, what's that been like for you?
Let me put it this way. After getting my feet in the door by not knowing anyone was such a challenge. I thought I was not going to get it. I was not going to get in at all. Just because of who I am and from the amount of knowledge that I've had in prior to that. Even with the college degree that I was aiming for at the time, too. But I had a gut feeling back then, or a small gut feeling, that I was not going to get in at all. That was just going to be a waste of time. But I proved myself wrong and everyone else wrong. And I got accepted like that, just for being myself as getting my feet in the door. And as I started to learn more about how it's done in the industry, working there, being trained to do what needs to be done at the time, I made such a great first impression, not just towards me, but towards anyone who I worked with, even with upper executives there, or supervisors, anyone. They've been looking up to me for certain things, even though I was one of the low-end people just for doing contract work during my time spent there. And that moment on, ever since I got let go or laid off during the midst of COVID back in 2021, I've been such an awesome legend there. They've been bringing me back for visitations just to see how am I doing, see how they're doing, so on and so forth. And ever since then, my name has been more reachable back in my hometown. And people still ask about me and talk about me just because of working in the industry.
Yeah, that must feel good.
It feels great. It feels awesome. But to be very humble about it, it was one of the best lifelong experiences that I've been through in my own entire lifetime. And I've been a mentor to others who are trying to do the exact same thing, which is now more difficult to get in. Do what I did. Get your feet in the door by not knowing anyone at all. Just be yourself the entire time. Just show them and prove them wrong.
Yeah, definitely.
See how it goes from there.
Well, that's amazing. That's really good. Yeah, and yeah, I think definitely, like, when we get to a point where we're somewhere where we can just be ourselves, and then, like, and embrace that and be accepted for it, or, like, not always accepted for it everywhere, but at least in certain places, that's always good. Like, when you have that, wherever it is, when you have that group, where you're somewhere where you have that group that accepts you, that's good. Well, unfortunately, I couldn't remember that other question I wanted to ask you, and I guess I can always message you if I remember it, but that's pretty much all that I had in terms of questions for today. But I wanted to thank you again for coming on the podcast. This was a really, unless you wanted to add something.
It's been my honor of joining in, as I've always enjoyed being a guest for anyone's show.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I really enjoyed having you on, and I will I'll let you know when this episode is out, and thank you everyone for listening. I hope you enjoyed this conversation as well, and I'll see you guys next time.